Hey, come away, man.
All right, what's going on, folks? Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of the pod. Appreciate you all tuning in. I'm rolling solo like old times here. D'Lo's grinding out a couple of last few exams before deciding what he wants to do with his future, which is either commit to the field which he is studying in and is looking to graduate from shortly, or become a full-time producer of the Bordello podcast. So until that is all wrapped up and he has rendered a decision on his personal future and whether he wishes to commit it to me wholly, I am without him for the next couple of weeks. I mean, for this week and next week, I think we're probably going to roll senza producer. But still a lot to kind of just sort of get out of my brain here, if this is all right with you guys. This is going to be more of an intimate little, I don't know, more of an interloping on your guys' part. As I talk to myself, I will be talking to myself and you are just a little fly on the wall. Really, I'm just going to be telling you about what's been going on the past week. Some things on my brain which I've been observing. As I'm recording this, it is Wednesday, the 17th of April. This will probably only be out a little bit later this evening, so apologies that it wasn't out at midnight. There's always a handful of people that are, the pod goes up and minutes after it's available, there are people that are tuning in. So if you're one of those people and you're among the first people to be tuning into this, I assume even if it's a little bit later in the Wednesday or almost overnight Thursday, I assume you're still going to be one of the first people just kind of constantly refreshing the feed for the pod. If you're one of those people and you're listening to this, then I apologize that I made you scroll in vain all of last night at midnight Wednesday. You guys were refreshing your feed and it wasn't there. I don't know who you are, but thank you. Thank you for tuning in and please keep doing so. We need all the support we can get as this whole field becomes increasingly diluted. There are a lot of comics out there who are putting out podcasts to nobody, and I appreciate that I have a podcast where I'm putting out something for somebody. Not quite nobody. Just enough to keep me still doing this. Just enough to feel like I'm still getting a little bit of feedback on it. But no, I mean, everyone has a podcast now, bro. It's getting to a point where I'm going to tell my mother to start a podcast. She at dinner earlier tonight, was encouraging me to follow her to Wales at the start of the year. My mother has been watching the Wrexham documentary on, I don't know, Disney Plus or Apple TV or Netflix or whichever streaming platform is ripping them off. I don't know how we still don't have, you know, a jailbroken Fire Stick, which I think is the only respectable move as an immigrant person in an immigrant household. Is you need the jailbroken Fire Stick, where you can access all of television throughout the globe for like $100 a year. The fact that anyone is still paying for regular services at regular prices is astounding. I guess it's kind of a testament to how, you know, successful my family has been. We could burn a little bit of money. It's simple. When I'll bring it up to my father, I think this is a very typical thing for a guy his age. My father's in his 50s. So this is a pretty common thing for guys kind of born in the 1960s, 70s, sort of that period, guys that grew up around then. Is when you tell them something like, for example, "Pa, we're getting dicked. Why don't you just get, I don't know, a box, one of those TV boxes where some, you know, Persian guy comes and, you know, fiddles around a little bit for a few, you know, for a few minutes and he says, thank you, that'll be $120, I'll see you next year." Somehow he like times it to self-destruct. He just pushes some buttons and it knows that in 364 days, it's going to have to, you know, it's going to kick it and he's going to stop getting, the client is going to stop getting service. I'll tell my dad, "Why don't you do that? Why don't you get one of those?" And he'll go, "You know what? Like, hey man, I don't know what that is. Just what's wrong with what we've got?" You know, it kind of, I think there is an openness. There is an openness of mind to save money. If I say, listen, you could save money, he'll say, great, I'm open to it. But he's kind of like, you got to help me. It's on you. That's actually what my father will do. My father will always do this. He'll say, great, you think we could save money? Please, indulge. And I go, well, I don't know how this thing works. I you know, I don't even pay my phone bill right now. I pay him. I'm still on a family phone plan right now. I pay my father a stipend every month to take care of my phone plan. I'm on like a work plan with him. And to be honest, I might be until he dies. I'm okay with that. I don't, you know, but here's the thing. So I think in doing so, I kind of get screwed because he's not as on the ball with this sort of thing. He's not young and cheap and, you know, broke. He kind of has bigger fish to fry, you know? He's what I call a grown-up. I am an adult. He is a grown-up. This is kind of a thing that this is a new theory that I have, that it is not because you are necessarily a legal adult that you are a grown-up. I don't think, now in hindsight, I'm 26, I think from 18 to 24, I was not a grown-up. I thought I was mature for my age. When I look back, I think something happened at 24 where I just kind of dialed in a little bit more. So, you're very much not necessarily grown-up until you're grown-up. Does that make sense? Until you have a kid or something, until, I don't know, until you get a felony, until you get arrested, until you, you know, I don't know, until you have to pay a phone bill. I don't know what it is, but until you feel that you can beat up an old man, that's actually a really good kind of metric. I'll give you an example. My father-in-law is maybe 5 foot. I think he's okay. I feel bad. I think he kind of listens to this sometimes. I think he's 5'3". maybe 5'4". I think 5'4" is generous. He once claimed to be 5'8" and was incredulous at the prospect that any of his family suggests that he be anything other than that. And they had to break out the ruler, the measuring tape, which is humiliating. You really, you know, if you're going to be adamant about your height, you need to be correct. And he unfortunately was not. And I knew he wasn't 5'8", because, you know, I'm 5'10", and I'm, you know, I'm a Subway sandwich. I'm a panino taller than him. Does that make sense? So maybe he's 5'4". I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he's smaller than me. I don't know that I could beat him in a fight. If I wrestled him, I think he would beat me. He weighs more than me, to be fair, which, you know, most dads weigh more than me. You know, I'm 5'10", average build, you know, thin, lean muscle. I've never done the bulk thing. I don't have a lot of fat on me. So I think, you know, there's something about just, you know, piling on food and calories over years. You just have this added advantage, but it's also just a thing where you have, you know, he's in his 50s as well, like my father. They're about the same age. I still think, as an older guy who is shorter than me, you have an advantage because you have dad's strength. This is kind of an intangible, which I'm not really sure how to define, but I think it exists. I feel that dad's strength is real. When you have a kid, when you have a child, and just have gray hair and have kind of beat up your body a little bit and just been waking up every day going to work to provide, I think something happens. So I think my father-in-law could beat me up. I'm saying it would be competitive. You know, my brother-in-law, now these are all, again, non-binding legal terms. I'm not married, and so I'm being, you know, a little gratuitous in the usage of this word. Is gratuitous even the word? I'm being a little liberal in my usage of these words, but for simplicity's sake, I'll call him my brother-in-law. My girlfriend's sister has been dating a guy for a while. He's a good guy. We fuck around a lot. We once wrestled, and he's bigger than me, and it was competitive. I held my own. I'm a feisty little motherfucker. You know, he's maybe two inches taller than me, weighs more, maybe has 15 pounds on me. And it was competitive. It was really competitive. I put him in some tough positions. And I think we had to call it a draw because I just wouldn't give up. And yet I still think, you know, I still think the little guy would take me. My point is, I'm no slouch. I'm an athletic guy. I went to a soccer tryout the other day. I'm still, you know, we could talk about that in a bit, but I'm still keeping at it. You know, I'm still keeping sharp. I'm still taking care of my body. I still think the old man might beat me. I still think my father could take me in a fight. Maybe. The day you think your father can't take you in a fight anymore, that's kind of when you stop to see him as your father, I might argue, you know? Or that's when you kind of see him as a man, you know what I mean? It's kind of like two things. It's like maybe the first time you see your father cry, like maybe the first time you think, I could probably take this guy. When I was 8, I thought I could take my father in a foot race. And now my dad's, you know, I'll say this liberally because he's another guy who listens to this pod. But, you know, he enjoys the show. Hopefully I won't take away from his enjoyment of it. Fuck, some of his friends even listen to this. So I've been told. Once in a while, his friends will be like, hey, by the way, I will go weeks without seeing some of his friends. They won't text me, you know. It's not like they say, hey, I'm listening to your pod right now. I guess they're just doing it in silence. Weeks will go by. I'll see them, you know, intermittently throughout the year, just at random, you know, little moments. And kind of out of nowhere, right? I'll just come home. My dad will be hanging out with a few of his friends, and they'll go, hey, loved your pod this week. So I'm like, all right, you know, great. One of them, a Jewish one, said, a Jewish friend, saying a Jewish one, feels a little, I don't know, feels a little disconnected. It feels a little callous. Some Jewish guy. No, one of my father's friends, who is Jewish, actually told me he liked the Israel episode. He said it was very well maneuvered. So, you know, I think that's a testament to my, I'll give myself my flowers on that. I think that's a testament to, my proficiency as a broadcaster, which is why you're enjoying this right now, why you're enjoying having me talk to nobody but you in private, in the car, on your way to work right now. But, you know, anyway, my dad, I don't want to embarrass my dad here, okay, but, because again, his friends do listen to this, some do, and my father listens to this, but my father for most of his life, and there's no delicate way to say this, but, you know, according to the Wii Fit, let's put it that way, you remember the Wii Fit, that little scale, that little game that you would play on the Wii with a scale, and you would weigh yourself at the start of, you know, your journey playing this game, you would need to create a profile, and it would need to kind of determine what your BMI was, the goal being to actually give you, you know, fitness targets that were achievable. And you would be playing fitness games, you know, on the Wii. You'd be standing in place, pretending to run or playing tennis or I don't know. I don't remember what other games were on it, to be honest. But they were kind of like activity driven. That was sort of the point. They were meant to stimulate you. They were meant to actually get you moving. My dad, according to the Wii Fit, okay, we're going back like 15 years here, was classified as, I think, obese. I was going to say morbidly obese. I think they probably omitted that word because you know, that would have been devastating to consumers. I think seeing obese as is tough. I think he got the obese designation. Maybe the morbid obese one is like reserved for fucking like sumos or something. You know, it was made by Nintendo. Just fucking, oh, we need to make morbid obese. Morbid obese classification for sumo wrestler only. Sumo. Nintendo. Arigato. I don't know what that, I don't even know if that's how Japanese people, that may have sounded more Korean. I don't know. That's my best attempt off the dome at a Japanese accent. But my dad, again, big guy, like just rotund. He's never been like a huge workout guy. He was like a sporty guy when he was younger, but he just started working and eating, and he kind of packed it on, and he's always been just a big dude. You know, average height, just, yeah, I don't know, like barrel-chested. So I remember being 8 years old. I remember being 8 years old and thinking, you know, I'm playing hockey and soccer like at a pretty, you know, at a pretty heavy clip. I'm on the ice all the time. I'm playing multiple sports. I feel good. You know, I'm skating circles around kids my age. I think I was maybe 8, 9, 10. Couldn't have really been more than that. And I told my dad, I might have given some kind of inkling that I thought I could beat him in a foot race. Like in a sprint. And you know how, you know, now being an adult, I understand what my father was probably thinking, right? Like, because part of him probably wanted to say, get the fuck out of here. Just turn into Conor McGregor, you know? Get the fuck out of here, you little fucking rat, you. You fucking, I will smite you. You know, he's kind of like thinking, buddy, you're a flea. You're a little tick. I would take you no problem. You're a literal child. I'm an adult. But you go, you know, you don't want to say that to your son. I mean, I guess some dads do. And those fathers create kids who create, in turn, great art, actually. So, you know, it's not without its benefits. But, you know, thankfully, my father wasn't that guy. My father was kind. He was, you know, gentle. And he would say, buddy, you know, I don't know about that. And again, in the back of his mind, while this is going on, while he's telling me, hey, buddy, I think I could beat you in a race. He's not laughing at me, but he's probably thinking in his mind, this fucking kid is, you know, this kid's Delulu, right? This kid of mine, this son of mine, he's nuts. And I really should teach him a lesson. But, you know, I don't want to devastate him. But eventually, I think he kind of snapped because I kept pushing. I kept pressing it and was like, no, are you nuts? Like, I've never seen you run ever. You don't understand. I'm 10. I'm 10. I'm you know, spry. I'm youthful. I'm energetic. You're an old man. You're in your 40s. You're old. I'm young. I run. You don't. I will beat you in a race. In my mind, I could be like a little kind of, I don't know, I guess kind of like Messi maybe. You ever see like a little guy who's fast? Remember Sebastian Giovinco just being like quick? I guess I thought I'm adept. I'm quick, you know? I'm dainty. I'll float, you know? I'll run. In my mind, I was thinking I was just too agile to be beat. You know, power did not even cross my mind. And I think eventually I just wore my dad down and was like, bro, like, you understand? I will smoke you in a fucking race, old man. I will kill you. And he eventually just broke and said, you want to go out right now? You want to do this? And I think he was like, you know what? I think I got to teach this kid a lesson type of thing. He needs to at least respect me on a certain baseline level, you know? And this is, again, going back to what I said before. When you see your father cry for the first time, it probably humanizes him. And then the second time that you maybe realize, okay, you know, he's just a human, is if he cannot protect you. If you think, I could beat him up, I got to protect him now. The roles have flipped, you know? And then, you know, it culminates in you eventually having to, you know, change a diaper on him. I guess, you know, in some extreme way down the line. It feels like when you could beat him in a fight, or when you feel you could beat him in a fight, that's kind of the first step toward that direction. And, or, you know, maybe in my case, just paying a phone bill. Maybe I'll be like, I'll be like, fuck, I got to handle these affairs myself now. How old am I? Jesus, I'm still a kid. I'm 26. God, why isn't someone doing this for me? You know, I think the day that I got to start paying my own phone bill, maybe it'll kind of feel like a step in that direction as well. All right, I'm on my own now. You know, eventually I'll have to go, you know, I'll have to go back home regularly and check in on my parents and say, hey, you guys stimulated? What's going on? You know, but regardless, we're all over the map here. Just to dial in. I remember that foot race, in my mind, I thought the day that we went out and raced, that was kind of like going to be the first day that I became, you know, I don't know, that was going to be the day that I became a man, I guess. I don't know, that I thought, you know, I will expose my father as being but immortal. I will beat my father in some kind of feat of strength. And I remember it was like the fall, so he put on a jacket. He put on like a North Face puffer jacket. And again, he's not a skinny guy already. He's like a barrel-chested guy wearing a North Face. So he doesn't have the body of a sprinter. When you see people sprint, it's usually on television, and they're usually lean. They're usually lean people that exclusively sprint. Like, that's their thing. They are runners. And I remember, just as soon as we took off, I knew, oh, I'm cooked. Like, he left me in the dust, almost literally. Like, I might have still been kind of on the dusty ground coming up as he was off. Because, of course, he was off. He was an adult, you know? He's a full-fledged adult who could generate power. And so, you know, 2-3 strides in, I'm tailing him. I didn't even finish the race. I was DNF, bro. I did not finish the race because I was laughing so goddamn hard. Because I had never seen him. Just the visual of seeing a grown man who's a little more rotund just take off. And I think he put his hands in the air in victory. Like, woo! Just, it was so much to bear. It was such a sensory overload. just the, you know, the feeling the wind on my face, seeing his arms go up, seeing him actually be a lot faster than I ever imagined he would be. It was just maybe the sound of the shoes slapping, all of it, all of the senses were stimulated. And yeah, I remember just laughing my ass off because I was like, bro, this is preposterous. I cannot believe that you're running right now. Again, he's not a guy who would wake up and go run in the morning. He was always disciplined, but he would like go right to work. He wouldn't do like physical stuff for himself. So in my mind, I thought, oh, he's, you know, the Wii Fit said he's obese. I just lost to an obese guy. What's going on? But I guess that was kind of comforting in a way because I was like, well, at least he's still my father, you know, like at least he could, you know, you know, if I get, you know, nabbed on the street, maybe he could run after the guy or something. Maybe it at least means something. But, yeah, man. So, that might have been one of the more important moments in my relationship with my dad. Just subconsciously. I don't know. Freud might have something to say about that. Just the fact that I thought I could, you know, what did I think? Did I think I could take over as like the head of the house? You know, did I think if I beat him, all of a sudden I was the man of the house at like 10, you know, would I have turned into like a gang leader? You know what I'm saying? You know, those kids that will have like a father go to jail when they're like 8, 9, 10 and dad will tell the kid who's again, 9 years old, you got to take care of your mother. You're the man of the house now. Like, did I think that's what was going to happen? Like, my dad was going to say, you know what? You're becoming a man now. You're 10. You know, Christ, we haven't even given you your bar mitzvah yet. And you're still, you could take me. You're the rightful, you know, you're the rightful protector of this household type of thing. I don't know. I started gambling again. That's fun. It took Mike Lucci coming on the pod saying, you're not going to win with gambling ever. And I said, I think I'm going to try gambling again. Because of UFC 300. UFC 300 was last weekend. And I put a little bit of money into a sportbook account. And I have a few kind of takeaways from the whole experience. I don't know how many of you guys gamble. I know that most of my friends do. In some capacity. So I'll assume that a lot of people that at least listen to this kind of dabble once in a while. There are some things that you need to be careful with. Well, the way I did it was, I think, the best way of doing it, which is you put money into an account, which you say, I'm taking this money and I'm lighting it on fire. And I'm never putting money into the fucking account again this year. That's kind of the way you got to think about it is, I'm putting money into the account right now. And if I lose it all, I'm done gambling for the year. And if I see it all go away, yeah, I'll be mad, but I'm okay. I'm taking this money, lighting it on fire, never seeing it again. That's what you got to do. If you make money, which I did on the weekend, you withdraw immediately and then you just play with your winnings and you just, you know, see how far you could take it. The problem with that is, this is what I've been doing the past like 2-3 days, you wind up wasting a ton of fucking time because I was in the black and made money. I thought, okay, great, withdraw your principal and then, you know, once you get your IDs verified and everything, you get it withdrawn, no problem, you're in the clear. Then you start playing with house money and you think, well, now it's not degenerate if I'm, you know, betting on baseball, you know, if it's like 4 o'clock on board and I just throw, you know, I'm like, you know, I decide to take a break and I'm going to take a shit. And I'm like, what's going on? Fuck it. Let me gamble on baseball at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not degenerate because it's their money. I'm not losing money. And I guess technically it's kind of true, but you just wind up wasting so much time. Like, it doesn't feel efficient. It doesn't feel like an efficient use of your time in any way. I mean, I guess, again, you think this is house money, and if you start withdrawing, then it's kind of, you know, I guess it's worth it to an extent, but it's like when does it end, you know? When does it become a problem? Well, it's like if you're not losing any money, I guess it never becomes a problem, but what if you're wasting, you know, like time daily now on this, you know? Like, I, again, house money, so I'm like, you know what, I'll bet on the Champions League today, you know, and I bet on Real Madrid to beat Man City, and that's, you know, normally you're watching the Champions League while you're working and it's in the background, but when you have money on the game, even if it's not much, you're just like naturally, because, you know, it's the bird brain, you're going to pay more attention to it, and you're going to, you know, the game, that is, you're going to watch it a little more, so it went to extra time, it went to penalties, you know, I had other shit I wanted to do, and I'm not doing it because now I'm spending like 20 minutes just watching this, you know, this game with intent as if my team is playing. You know what I'm saying? By the way, baseball is a fever pitch, bro. If you try gambling on baseball late at night one night, it's like a nightmare because you'll wake up the next day and it's like the same teams are playing again because, you know, they'll play like a 3-game series in 4 days type of thing, or they'll play 4 games in four games in 4 days, or sometimes they'll play 3 games in two. They'll play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and then they'll play at 6 o'clock at night. You know, they have the early game and the late game. And I've never been able to wrap my head around that. I've never been able to wrap my head around the frequency with which baseball games are coming at you. It's like a fucking fever dream, dude. It's like Groundhog Day. You wake up, you're like, fuck, the Diamondbacks are playing the Cubs again. Jesus Christ. It was, you know, 1 a.m. last night and they were, they were playing last night. What the hell? Because you know what you'll do, right? You'll just go on the app, right? If you have money in an account, you'll just go on the app and say, all right, what's going on now? Okay, nothing. What, baseball? All right, fucking close that shit. You know? This happened the other day. I was like, what's going on right now? Anything interesting? Is there any, like, hockey? Maybe I'll just, like, watch the end of a third period, try to fall asleep to it, you know? And, there's baseball on. All right. Arizona, Chicago, cool. Anyway, all right. On to the next thing. You don't even necessarily have to interact with it. You kind of file it. You bookmark it in the back of your brain. All right. There was a baseball game going on. You wake up the next day. You're right. You're like, all right, Champions League's on today. Let's lock a bet in. I think that'll be fun. Let's put, like, a little unit on Real Madrid, whatever. And as you're doing this, you're looking at like what's live now, and they're like, they're showing you more baseball. You're like, bro, what's going on? It's the middle of the day. Arizona's playing Chicago again. You know, it's enough to drive you nuts, man. You know, there's just always baseball on. I don't know how anyone keeps up with baseball and bets accordingly. They say it's the hardest sport to bet on. It's got to be true. It's got to be true because, you know, the same guys aren't pitching, you know, back-to-back days, right? I don't know. But I will say this. Do not. Because, again, I have not been on a gambling website. I hadn't been on a gambling website in over 2 years. I just forced myself to not gamble for 2 years because I thought it was a waste of time. And I thought, like, if I did it, I was just going to keep, you know, I was always going to be just kind of fighting to make a little bit, and it's easy to lose a lot of time. I remember I lost like a couple of days doing it, like when I decided to quit like 2 years ago. Like, it wasn't really a problem, but I just got like really rattled by the fact that I lost, because like I don't know. The reality is, and this is this is not like a conventional opinion here, but the reality is I could have kept going, you know. You could always keep going. I could have kept going and I could have got back in the black, and you know. But it was just the prospect of doing that was so exhausting. I'd lost money and I'd spent like 2 days like on a weekend like betting on like football. And I was like, bro, this is exhausting. And I remember being like, yeah, this is enough. Like, I talked to Paola and I told her like, bro, I'm really rattled right now. The Bills just lost to the Chiefs. This was like 2 years ago in that crazy back and forth game. I was just emotionally drained. She's like, yeah, you should probably stop. I was like, yeah, it's a good point. So didn't do it for 2 years. So I've been out of it. I don't remember this being a thing a couple years ago, but now when I kind of signed back up to this app, I signed up to 888 Sport. Bro, a lot of these guys, like, you think these are legitimate apps because you see them, like, advertising on, you know, on the jersey of a Premier League team. These guys are complete scumbags, bro. They are total and utter scumbags. What they will do is, they will pretty much give you odds on anything that they think they can make money on. Does that make sense? So, I mean, and I'm not gambling on these because it feels preposterous, but like they've got like leagues I've never even heard of. They've got like soccer leagues in India, okay, that I'm looking up on Wikipedia. It's the fifth level of the pyramid in India. You're going to tell me that you could bet on that with a good clear conscience? Like, you know what's going on. You know what, you know, what checks and balances there are in play to prevent people in India from fixing games. No. There will be fuckery. There will be foul play. Nine times out of seven. Keep them on their fucking toes. Bro, 8 times out of 5, there is fuckery. 3 times out of 1, there's fuckery. I don't know why. No matter what nonsensical fraction I give here, it always makes me laugh. Even though, anyway, whatever. What was that line in Anchorman? 50% of the time, it works every time. Yeah, bro. Yeah. 17 times out of 13, they're always fixing the games. Okay, when you're dealing with like the fifth tier of football in India, the third tier of football in Peru. But I'm going to go a level further here, okay? There are games you could bet on some of these apps that are so obviously, so comically compromised that it's a wonder that anyone even bets on it in the first place. There was a... I'm trying to remember the name of this league. I think it's called the GT League. I think it's the GT League. Bro, there's this never-ending kind of, I guess, organization. There's this organization that has like never-ending football tournaments on FIFA. Okay? So it's, you're betting on esports. You're betting on a guy playing FIFA, okay, on Xbox or whatever, and the game is being streamed live on YouTube or on Twitch, and I guess it is considered professional FIFA playing. They are professional esports players. How you get to this level, I do not know. How much integrity these guys have, kind of dubious, okay? Because immediately I'm seeing esports. I mean, here's the problem with betting on FIFA. The games are 12 minutes long. When you bet on 12-minute long games, you know, it's not like betting on a hockey game where, you know, you're sinking hours into it. You could really drain a lot out of people. You could drain multiple units per hour out of people if they're betting on this shit. Dude, there are these guys on YouTube that are streaming them playing FIFA, and I guess you would think that if the games are actually taking place and they are available to be watched live in real time, there would be some kind of checks and balances, meaning you could see if people are obviously trying to score an own goal or whatever, you know? And accordingly, you could complain. To who? I don't even know. That's the thing. What governing body is there for FIFA and esports? You know? I don't even know if there is one. How could there be one? Now, here's the fucked up thing. I actually was curious because I was like, hey, well, what is this? What is this game that they're having people bet on, okay? What is this game that they're giving you the option to play with, okay? You're going to put money on Magdi playing as Barcelona to beat Nazario playing as Borussia Dortmund in the GT League FIFA tournament. And what you'll do is you'll go on a YouTube and look up these guys live in real time to try to, you know, I guess if you gamble on them, you'll watch along. And, you know, see who scores next. You know, if you want to put money on who's going to score next, I feel like that's so easy to fix, right? Because when you consider the fact that, you know, you're betting live in real time on baseball or on football or basketball, whatever, they're playing the game. They have no idea what's going on in the world. But when you're on a fucking computer screen, okay, and you're staring at, you know, a monitor playing FIFA, you could have, like, a separate tab open of live real-time betting analytics from, you know, bookmakers who are, you know, in bed with you, who you are in bed with, right? Who are telling you what to do live in real time. Like, okay, 1,000 euro just came in on Magdi to score first. So Magdi, stop trying to score, you know? And maybe they're just like always constantly working in cahoots with the bookies. Now, before you tell me that this is crazy and that this is some kind of crazy conspiracy thing and that I'm off my rocker, I went to YouTube to check this out for myself because I was like, what the fuck is this? How organized is this? Are they in a room together? Is it like, you know, I don't know. Is it like Andrew Tate's, is it like Andrew Tate's webcam lab in Bucharest, Romania, where all the women are in one room on the compound, you know, all typing at the same time? Are they at least going to a place of work and playing each other? Or are they playing virtually? And it's the latter. They're playing virtually with a webcam hooked up, so you could see all the guys in their gaming chair, right? Just like this. You see them in the chair. You don't see what's on their screen except for the FIFA game. They could have two computers. They could just peer over at a separate screen and see live analytics. All the money's on a draw, so we got to make sure that one of us wins type of thing. And before you tell me this is nuts, I went to the fucking YouTube channel. Bro, there's 9 people watching at a time. There's fucking... Nobody's watching it. They're just guys virtually playing at home. And they have like 15 viewers live in real time. All this is just an event technically taking place so that people could, you know, wager on it. So... I don't know. Just be careful what you wager on, I guess, because some of that shit is just some of that shit is so, you know, so comically, you know, done that it's almost kind of beyond your imagination. By that I mean when you see an event on a sport book, you think this must be a legitimate sporting event in some capacity. There must be some integrity there. No, I'm telling you. That some of the shit that is listed on the books is, you know, is basically not even happening. It's not even taking place. It's kind of taking place as a formality. It would appear, you know? I mean, think about it. You know, if nobody's watching this fucking FIFA tournament, it's not like people are watching it and learning from it, right? People are watching it because they're gambling on it. And they're gambling on it because it's available to watch. And here's the thing. It's just like baseball. They're streaming for 8 hours at a time, twice a day. It is buck wild. I looked up a few of their YouTube channels and they have different channels. There's like, you know, GT Leagues 1, GT Leagues 2, GT Leagues 3. And they have like 2 8-hour videos posted per day. It is buck wild. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, just take a second and go look it up if you'd like. Come back to the video after. because I don't want to lose you guys halfway through here, but you know, honestly, if you leave and don't come back, it's actually understandable. It is entertaining. It's so, you will get sucked down a rabbit hole of just watching these guys play for like 20 minutes. It is funny. It is funny how obviously screwed up a lot of it is. And you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to kind of like disguise a lot of the kind of compromised behavior, but they're really not, because they don't really give that much of a shit. They know that USADA is not going to come in and, you know, get them for doping. They know that antitrust isn't going to come in and you know, I don't know, suspend them. They know that the FA isn't gonna do them in like you know, they got Sandro Tonali. They're kind of operating. Who even knows where these people live? Who the hell even knows where these people live? These people might just get paid a stipend and live, you know, in St. Lucia or St. Barts. They could all live at a resort in St. Barts with Wi-Fi and get paid a stipend to live in St. Barts and get tax-free money from, you know, I don't know. They could live in Gibraltar. You know what I'm saying? They could just be in some crazy tax haven where all these bookies are based out of, you know? I actually think that's what it is. I would submit to you, it's probably kind of like the Andrew Tate kind of webcam model where they, you know, they kind of will lead you to believe that what is going on is real, but it is very clearly not. You think you're interacting with a woman because a woman is sending you pictures back, but, you know, it's just some dude in Eastern Europe typing back, you know, yes, I want to see your dick, daddy. You know, like, And guys are pissing their lives away. So yeah, don't be a fish, bro. Don't be a fucking fish. If you're going to gamble, gamble on baseball like a man. Little advertising break, folks. This episode of The Bordello is brought to you by Insieme Montreal's presentation of Sal the Voice, Valentinetti, coming to Montreal on the 19th of May, next month. So if you're listening to this and you're in Montreal, I will be at the event. I'm excited about it because, you know, it's a cool thing to do. Can I just say that? Generally, we will, as guys, because I know it's mostly men listening to this, we will not take initiative and do stuff. We will not, you know, go to our girlfriend and say, maybe it's bold of me to assume that the people that listen to this have girlfriends, but, you know, maybe some of you do. I don't know. I guess it depends how much you gamble. But, you know, we tend to not take initiative and say, let's go out and do a thing. It takes something really noteworthy to want to get me out. When I saw that this guy was coming, that got my attention. I like the fact he's a crooner. I like the fact that he sings old school stuff, and I like the fact that he's got a baritone voice. That, to me, is nice. I like the idea of going to a concert where I could sit down and have dinner. I don't necessarily want to go headbang. You know what I mean? I don't, you know, I mean, I like rap, but, you know, I'm kind of scared to say the N-word in public now. This is kind of the best alternative now, is to just accept who you are. You know, you're an adult, and you're going to go have dinner, and you're going to go watch a show from a guy who sings classy songs. So it's a good move. If you're in Montreal, I encourage you guys to go check out the link to purchase tickets for Insieme's presentation of Sal Valentinetti. He was, of course, an America's Got Talent finalist a couple of years ago, and he would have won if it weren't for that screw job. If it weren't fucking rigged. The fix was in. They should have been Sal. Let me tell you, he was the voice. He had something special. Look at him. He's a big star now. He should have won, but they had the fix in. Those people, they don't want to see Italians do well. Sal is a great singer. He's a fun guy too. He's got a lot of personality. He'll be fun. Maybe he'll call out to you. Maybe he'll say, "Hey, honey, how's the chicken look?" You know, one of those. Kind of like in the 50s in Vegas. That's what I'm kind of hoping to get out of it. Tickets are $150. That's not bad. That's really not bad, because it's dinner and a show. You could go to a wedding right now if you RSVP yes to weddings like a fish. Sam Adamo, by the way, RSVPs no generally now. I'm getting invited to weddings now. I'm RSVPing no. If I don't like you, I'm not spending money on your wedding. You know what I'm saying? But many of you people are fish, and you guys are all out here fucking RSVPing yes and spending $200 a plate. And you're not seeing Sal Valentinetti. You're going to fucking see Tanya from the neighborhood get married. You know what I mean? Tanya, whatever. You know? You're seeing Tanya from insert Italian neighborhood get married. Tanya from Maple get married. You know? Tanya from down the bakery, you know? You remember her in high school when you and the whole soccer team were trying to get with her. Well, she's getting married now. Good for her. You got to go pay fucking $200 a plate, you and the wife, to go watch Tanya from the neighborhood get married to Stefano. You could do that, or you could do what I do, which is RSVP no, and you spend $150 on a plate, which gets you dinner and a show. Perfect. One spot, got you covered. So if you're in Montreal, it's at Embassy Laval. It's in Laval, guys. Laval, they do things nicely. I will say they do a good job. Laval as a place, they have nice halls, nice venues. I think it's a wedding hall, probably. It's, you know, they do it better. It's efficient. The Laval, you know, the Laval Italian neighborhoods, man. The Laval wedding halls, they have, it's a good product. You'll eat well. You'll be among your own, you know. Kind of like a fascist rally back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a pro-Mussolini rally in the 1930s. It'll just be tons of Italians, Italian entertainment. And, you know, if that skeeves you, that's fine. They're not fascist. The people that will be there are not fascist. But if that gets you, you know, if you get off on that a little bit, you know, fine. You know, cosplay in your mind. Be wherever you want to be mentally. You're in Laval at Embassy Plaza in Laval watching Sal Valentinetti perform, having veal limon. But in your mind, you could be wherever you want to be. If you want to be transported to Rome in 1934, fine. No one's going to police your thoughts. We're not there yet, you know? We're not there yet. The government probably knows if you're into that sort of thing, but, you know, they're just keeping that in the back pocket, you know, for when they want to use it against you at some point. They know what you're probably thinking. They can probably deduce it from algorithms. But, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that's a very weird verbiage I just chose to use. Bro, they could tell your thoughts through algorithms. But what I mean is, I'm sure they have, you know, I'm sure they have the ability to run diagnostics on your online behavior. I'm sure there are algorithms which could lead to them probably predicting the things that you are into and, you know, might think on a regular basis. But anyway, you could still go with the cognitive dissonance and you know, tell yourself, hey, nobody knows that I'm cosplaying as, you know, a black shirt, you know, rally attendee right now, and it's great to be among all these WAPs. That could be between you and your God. So, I'm banking on the fact that Insieme is not actually listening to this and actually, like, policing the ads. I will say I got free rein. I have not heard anything negative so far after last week. We're going to push the, maybe we'll push the envelope a little bit every week with these ads leading up to the show. But again, May 19th, Sal Valentinetti coming to Montreal. Check it out. I will be there, and I think it's a pretty good fucking deal. And I'm excited for it. I'm excited to get out. You know, shit like that, the opera, ballet, that's the type of thing that is worth going out to that you will not typically ever think to. You got to really be mindful. You got to dial in and say, what's something fun and noteworthy worth doing? You know, people should go to the ballet once in their life. People should go to the opera once in their life. People should see an old school crooner once in a while. I think it's good for the soul. Linktree.com/NCMA Montreal. NCMA, INSIEME Montreal. Linktree.com/NCMA Montreal. Let's get back to the show. So yeah, I think I might be done with gambling. I think I just might be done with this whole betting account altogether. It's been a fun experiment the past couple of days, but I really only put money in the account because of UFC 300. I was never really planning on getting back into sport betting. You know, it was a fun run, but yeah, I kind of tend to just do anything when I get into something, I tend to get very deeply into it. So it's just very stressful to be constantly playing is more like you know, online casino shit. I mean, that's a whole nother level of fucking degeneracy. I guess what I'm saying is, even when you're just, you know, placing bets on sports, it will consume you in some way. So I realized that, yeah, I don't think it's productive. So I think I might just take a step back. I might just keep money in the account for UFC events only and, you know, just kind of cash out most of it now. I don't know. It's been a fun couple of days, you know. It was a fun weekend, really, but it was kind of exhausting. You know what I mean? It just gets to be a lot. And also, like, I'm so fascinated by how they work. I'm so fascinated by how the sport books work. So even if I'm not necessarily, like, betting on stuff, I just like seeing what's out there and what's on offer. You know, I like, because you don't know about ping pong. You don't know that ping pong is a thing. And you don't have to gamble on ping pong to be a little bit intrigued when you see ping pong on a sport book and go, no fucking way. What does this even look like? Then you just look it up. You waste time, you know. And so, yeah, I think that might be curtains for me. But, you know, I did put money on the UFC 300 card. That's kind of why I just decided to reopen an account. And, I actually, you know, because I had, like, money on the fights and because it was a massive event, I actually went to a bar to watch it. I was out for dinner with my girlfriend's family, and we kind of called it, like, an early night, and I wound up not really having anywhere to go, and I had a few friends that were out in the city, but they were really far away, and at home, I didn't feel like coming back and paying, you know, the pay-per-view, you know, paying $80 for the fucking pay-per-view, and I didn't want to, you know, keep streaming it illegally because the stream was getting really laggy. So I went to a bar, like, 10 minutes from my house to watch it, and by the way, this is the downside of not having the Fire Stick. This is why you need the jailbroken Fire Stick. It is absolutely, and again, you know, I'll pitch it to my father and he'll say, great idea, you're in charge. And that's kind of where it ends for me, where I go, well, I don't know the first thing about this. So, you know, it never really happens. But you know, I think it is the move. I should probably just bite the bullet on it and get it. Because here's the thing, you can't go to a fucking bar to watch the UFC, man, especially not when you're alone. It's fine. There are other guys there alone. It's a little sad in their case. You could tell, You know, it's sad for them. It's sad to see them be there alone, but it wasn't sad for me because I know I'm, you know, I could have been with friends, you see. You know, I chose to be there. I had people. I wasn't there because I had no one. I was there because I wanted to be there. And you could smell it on people. You know what I'm saying? If you're at a bar, like at the actual bar, sitting on a stool, that's kind of tough. I had a table to myself. I kind of was just kicking it, you know, and watching the fights. You know, to be honest, I think my bets were done. I think I hit and I just stayed because I like watching fights. I didn't bet on the last couple. And so I didn't bet on Max Holloway or Justin Gaethje, like initially the fucking parlay that I put on, you know, on the card. It didn't involve that crazy finish. But, you know, it's weird. I don't know that I could do this again, man. I don't know that I can go in public and watch the UFC in public maybe ever again, because it's just all dudes who have money on the fights. And it's a lot of young dudes. It's a lot of 18-year-olds who are, like, just juiced up. We were talking about, you know, being an adult but not being a grown-up. I mean, it's on full display there. Okay, and, you know, their bets hit, and they get up, and they start screaming like girls, yeah! It's a lot. And there was one dude there that was drunk out of his mind, and he was kind of, like, sitting one table over from me. It was getting to a point where, like, he was kind of, like, you know, he had his hand on, like, a server's back, and now I'm like, oh, fuck, you know, if he does something fucked up and the waitress kind of, you know, pushes him back and says, get the fuck off of me, it could kick off. I might have to jump on this guy now. So now I'm kind of, like, looking around, right, looking at the table of dudes next to me, like, hey, guys, like, are you cool? Like, are we good? Like, if this guy does something stupid, are we all gonna intervene here and protect, like, the female servers, like, as is our, you know, duty as men in the world? And they're kind of giving me a look like, yeah, sure, I guess. But you never really know who knows how to fight in these bars, right? That's the thing. When you go to watch MMA in public, you will have a lot of the following. You will have guys like me who are kind of like fit and disciplined and drinking club soda. And I don't even know how to fight. But you'll have like guys that are like actual like fucking young local fighters who are just like going to study, you know? You see them. They got cauliflower ears and, you know, they're from like, I don't know, they're Armenian or they're Persian or they're Azeri and they're just drinking water, totally dead sober. And then you've got these other like these idiots, you know, you got like a lot of French guys who are gambling and just drunk out of their minds, and it's a real clusterfuck. And then sometimes, you know, you have drunk guys who do Muay Thai, who are having a little too good of a time. So you don't really know who you're gonna wind up, you know, fucking around with by accident. But you know, I look to the table next to me and I'm like, hey, we good here? I literally took out my earrings, like, in case it kicks off. And I turned to them. I was like, hey, boys, mama took her earrings off. She's ready in case this all kicks off, you know? And, no, thankfully it didn't. But the guy just kept, you know, getting up and yelling. Like, just yelling for no reason in the middle of fights. And, but thankfully the manager was a coward and didn't kick him out. So it was good. It didn't make a scene. And, you know, no one had to intervene as this guy was getting dragged out, fucking kicking and screaming. Which was nice. But so that evening I went out for dinner with my girlfriend's family. We went out to a Greek restaurant in the Greek neighborhood in Laval. There's this hood in Laval called Chomedey. It's like this old, you know, this old like traditionally it's like a very Greek area. When I say Greek, I mean real Greek. I mean like, you know, tons of tavernas, you know, Orthodox church and an Armenian seniors home like two blocks away from this place. And it is the bomb. I mean, the place that, you know, her parents took us out to is killer. It's not fancy, but it's really good. But, you know, it's Laval. And I've talked extensively about Laval on the pod. So, you know, I don't know. It's a weird spot. I got money on the fights. I don't want to be rude and kind of stream at the table. But I'm kind of, you know, constantly checking my phone because I want to see if my parlay's still alive. Because it's UFC 300, you know, I'm missing, like, the early prelims. But the early prelims have, like, you know, champions on it, right? Because it's a stacked card. But, you know, yeah, I don't know. There's a guy wearing a Scarface t-shirt. He weighs 350 pounds. I mean, you know, he's pushing 350 for sure. The women there have thick makeup on. The men all have beards and are bald, you know. I mean, and someone's there celebrating a birthday. And the people start singing the happy birthday song all fucked up and wrong. They sing it off key. They sing it from, like, the second verse. So I'm gonna show you how they sang it. People at the table next to us, a few minutes after we got there, they're finishing up their meal. Cake gets brought out. This is how they sing happy birthday. Happy Wait, hang on. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. They like skip the first. They skip the first verse, I guess. I mean, it's a three-word verse, but four words. But instead of going, they went straight to. They hit the same, you know, melody twice. Everyone's just brain dead in this place. Everyone's fried, you know? I don't know. It's always tough when you go out with your girl's family, too, because you can't pig out. You kind of are at the mercy of whatever they decide. And unfortunately, my girlfriend's family has a lot of women. She has a mother and a sister, you know? Now, granted, I mean, we're actually kind of evenly numbered, like men to women, because my father-in-law's there, my brother-in-law's there. So it's 3-3. But the women will get what they want. It's one of those, you know? So my mother-in-law just, you know, like she's ordering a cocktail. None of us are getting drinks. Waiter comes around. He's like asking what we want to drink. She's like, no, we'll just get a calamari to start for the table. And in my mind, I'm thinking, a calamari, that's for one person. We're getting it for the fucking table. The six of us are going to share it. All right. Because it's the thing now. The way people order in restaurants now is crazed. The way people order in restaurants now is tapas style all the time. Okay? I don't know when this became a thing, but I hate sharing plates. I don't like sharing plates with people. I think most men don't. Most women, for some reason, love it. And to the point that now they will go to restaurants that are just normal restaurants that serve individual portions. And when you sit down, okay, you're a bunch of couples, men and women, the women will all conspire and say, should we get like just a bunch of stuff to share? And it's like, no. We're in a Greek taverna in an immigrant neighborhood. Stop trying to make this place new age. Let's just all order a little thing for ourselves. And when you don't finish it, I'll eat it. That's the sharing. There's no sharing everything. Because it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I'm you know, paranoid that I'm taking too much pork. I got to make sure everyone's got enough. It's crazy, you know. And I know Greek menus are nuts, by the way, too. Can you name a stupider group of people than the Greeks when it comes to putting a menu together? On the left side of the menu, you've got, I'm gonna read to you. Look, let me actually pull. I actually took a picture. I actually thought to take a picture of the menu at this fucking place I went to the other day. Okay, you ready for this? You have on one side gyro and souvlaki. Okay, with prices listed. And then on the right side of the menu, you have another area labeled gyros and souvlaki. But it's like $3 more per plate. Unclear what the difference is. You have to ask the waiter what the difference is. He goes, this one has bread, this one has no bread. Doesn't say it anywhere. And then when I bring it up to the people I'm at the table with, I'm like, they're nuts, right? They are wrong. The women are all like, oh, no, we understood. We got it immediately. Like somehow they just cued into the insanity of it. Is my brain built different? I don't know, man. I do not know. I do not understand Greek menus. I don't understand Greek menus. And at one point, whenever anyone goes to a Greek restaurant, someone will always ask, what's the difference between souvlaki and gyros? And I, you know, my sister-in-law chimes in. It's always a woman who answers. She'll always go, souvlaki is chunks. It's chunks. And then gyros like shaved. And I'm like, you know, I just thought on the weekend, my girlfriend's dating a Jewish guy and I told her, why don't you just convert to Judaism so that the kids come out Jewish? You'll be a Jewish mom and you could still be Catholic. You could still wear your cross, you know. You know, it's the only thing you really like about Catholicism. You never go to church. I don't suspect you pray, do you, right? I know my sister-in-law, she's a good person. I know she's not thinking about Leviticus. She's not thinking about the book of Job. You know what I mean? She's not thinking about what it all means. She's not thinking about whether, Jesus was a real historical figure or not. But she claims that it's important to her. No, it's my religion. I'm like, okay, but you never think about it ever. Why not just convert to Judaism? She's like, well, I'm not a Jew. I go, yeah, but just convert. Do the dog and pony show and then have the kid come out with a superpower. He's part of a community of people who have his back. She's like, no, why would I do that? You know, my Catholicism is important to me. I go, okay, but why is it important to you? And then she's like, well, I don't know. I'm like, okay, but yesterday you were talking about like the difference between souvlaki and gyros with a lot of fervor. And 10 minutes ago, you were talking about like the insurance claim on your car and how the paint job was all screwed up. I actually recorded her audio and was like, okay, I'm gonna play this back to you. Does this sound like, I don't know, like, does this sound like a person? What did I say to her? I basically recorded her talking about like how her car paint got scratched and how the paint, you know, the paint coat was wrong. She had to go to a different, body shop to get it done. And it was an insurance nightmare. And I said to her, is this the level of like fervor that you want to kind of speak with when dealing with like issues as trivial as this? Or is this the kind of fervor you want to have when you talk about like why your faith is important to you? Because when I ask you about your faith, you just say, well, I don't know, because it's important to me. Why? Well, because it's important. You don't explain it ever. But then I say, well, why is it important that, you know, if I'll ask her, why did you go to this guy for the car, you know, paint job? And she'll talk about that like it's, you know, I don't know, like it's interesting, like it's important. You know, I'm not even like singling her out. I've noticed this a lot. You know, there are women that will, dudes also, actually, dudes do this with sports. Dudes will talk about the call on the sport, you know, on this game. It was a bullshit call. It should have got, you know, it should have challenged the play. And it's the most conviction with which they'll speak about anything. When you challenge them on their worldview, they'll kind of just go, I don't know, you know. So, you know. But at the same time, do you want your wife to kind of just be this, I don't know. Imagine if your wife was asking like crazy existential questions, like what's the point of it all, you know. The shit I ask, you know. If my girlfriend was doing that all the time, you know. If she wasn't like stable and was like always, you know, trying to figure out like how to leave a mark on the world, it'd be like, bro, what are we doing here? Can you just like make scones, please? And like be, I don't know, be loving, you know, you're just like, can you just be cool? You let me spiral. You let me do the worrying. You let me worry about the apocalypse and the protection. You just like be here for stability, please. I guess it's kind of better, you know, let me worry about what faith the kids should have. And let me talk about Jesus to the kids. You know what I mean? I feel like that's just maybe healthier. Should I play this? I don't know if she'll get mad if I play this, but I'll take a shot in the dark just for fun. Here we go.
Your car was. Could you just reiterate it again? So, what were you talking about all the way around the wheel?
Because of my pink color and pearl finish.
Oh, okay, pearl finish.
So they have to repaint the entire side of the car so it doesn't blend.
Oh, okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why are you speaking with this much gusto about the fucking color of your car, but when I say, hey, what does religion mean to you? I don't know. And you understand why I get a little frustrated sometimes and I just get a little
befuddled? Am I being an asshole? I don't know. She's like, that's what it was. I think I just honestly had to play that back to remember myself. To remember for myself what it was we were talking about. Yeah, she's talking about how, you know, when I went to this first guy, like, it was a real problem because they couldn't blend the paint color of the car. And it's like, I don't know, just... I get it. What do you want your car to look like? Shit. I suppose it's fair. It's fair play. But yeah, souvlaki chunks. Souvlaki is chunks. Fucking Greeks, man. What have those guys done since? What have those guys done the last 2,000 years? What have they done the last 2,000 years besides made Mykonos? A thing. Were gyros around 2,000 years ago, or is that a recent development? Is that like 1,500 years old? Is that something that they've maybe done in the last 2,000 years? They're just playing the same hits over and over again, huh? Just you got gyros and pita on one side and gyros and pita on the other side of the menu. Either side, you got gyros and pita. Just close your eyes and fucking run your finger up and down the menu. Wherever it winds up, that's the gyro or pita you're getting. Which one you're getting? Who knows? Is it coming on a stick? Is it coming in bread? Who knows? One is more expensive than the other, even though it's got the same name. Souvlaki pork on the right. Souvlaki pork on the left. Souvlaki pork on the right, $25. Souvlaki pork on the left, $22. Who knows what the difference is between the two? Do I get the more expensive one because it's more abundant and I'm hungry? Or do I get the cheaper one because I'm a, you know, because I'm onto their methods about, you know, I don't know, trying to screw me over. I don't know, man. I had a soccer tryout on the weekend, man. I haven't played like competitive soccer in a year. I don't even know if I'm going to wind up playing for this team because, like, you know, with stand up and shit, it's kind of the top priority right now. I'm playing on like a garbage team like I was last year. I just like to play for like the Division One team of my club and get called up to have a few competitive games a year. So the coach doesn't know me, but I know a bunch of dudes on this team who I used to play hockey with. And I showed up having had like a tea time with my girlfriend and her family. All I had the day of the tryout the other day were scones and clotted cream. Just butter. And I'd shot four times, but I hadn't really had a good one. Does that make sense? And we started running like channel runs. We ran like suicides, like to start the practice. And I haven't run in like 2 months. And I'm keeping up. I'm fine. But like, you know, once you get like, you know, to like breaking into like an 80%, you know, jog, fuck it. It's gonna hit you like a ton of bricks. I had to sprint to the dressing room in like the chalet next to the pitch, you know, before the session started. I don't know this coach at all. He doesn't know my sense of humor. And I'm like, sir, you know, I'm just gonna run over real quick. It'll hit the head. And I come back and I'm thinking, so the scrimmage has already started. And I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, I know I could play at this level. I know he'll see how I do, but I want him to actually kind of like me a little bit so I stand out a bit, you know? So I try to make a joke, right? Also kind of acknowledging the fact that I just ran off. I don't want him to think I'm unfit and that I'm like going to yak in the toilet. So I got to kind of like tell him I shat. But I don't want him to, you know, I don't want to seem too forward, you know? And talk about how I just took a shit to a guy I barely know. So I'm like, you know, I go, sorry about that. You know, all I had to eat today were scones. You know, I'll spare you the graphic details. But let me just say, I think I figured out why English football fans are always angry. You know, and I'm like, I'm implying that they're always just painting the bowl. And the guy doesn't know me. And he's like, Sam, like get in there. Like, he kind of interrupts me. And he's like, Sam, yeah, number 11. Yeah, tell him you'll take a spot at left back and get in, please. Enough out of you. Get in. He just shut me down right away. I don't know, man. My calves have been shot for the last 3 days. It's a good feeling, though, you know? If you're young and you're listening to this, don't stop playing competitively. Just keep playing until the wheels fall off or until you have to move. And then when you move, find a local club and then just meet guys through football. It's the fucking best, man. It's the best. You crack jokes with guys you barely met, you know, you're simulating battle is what you're doing, you know, you're simulating war when you, like, play a team sport with someone. That's why, like, tennis isn't really, that's why tennis is kind of for people with no souls. It's for sociopaths who want to make money and just get their dick sucked in Monaco. Like, when you play a team sport, like soccer, or, you know, like American football, when you, or, you know, proper football, right, European, real football, whatever, you know, you're 11 guys on the field, moving as a unit, offside line, raise the offside line, drop it. You develop like a real affinity with the guys you're with. When you play like hockey, you know, there's a brotherhood you develop with like your line mates, your defense partner. You know, you protect your goalie. I don't know, man. It's the best. You can't lose that. And here's the problem. I know I'm probably not going to get it this year because even if this coach asks me to join their team, like I'm going to wind up probably the odds that I'm able to do two teams, which play in evenings, you know, and not miss any stand-up shows is very low. I'm probably going to have to just, you know, I'm probably going to have to just pick one. And it fucking sucks because I really miss competitive soccer, you know. Yeah, man. I don't know. And there's, you know, there's something great about like watching the Champions League like I did today. You know, I guess it's now's probably like the more fun time to start watching, right? Like April when it gets real interesting and every game, especially the second legs when the first legs are tight. Like today, as I'm recording this, like Arsenal and Bayern just finished and Madrid and City just finished playing, and they both, like, tied the first leg. So it's really, you know, it's really exciting, right, to watch the second leg in that case. That's fun and all, but there's nothing like actually playing at a high level. If you've ever done it, you could only, man, you only really know if you've actually done it. The fact is, I think a lot of people that love football have not really played at a high level, and that's fine. But you know, it's a different thing. You don't fully ever get it. It's the honorable thing is to actually play the game and to be able to just, you know, chest a ball down and ping it 40 yards. If you can't do that, it's like, can I even have a conversation with you? You know what I mean? Like, if you love football, but you can't, you know, but you can't, like, you know, trap a ball, you know, if you can't, like, get a ball, you know, facing your own goal and play on the turn, it's hard for me to have the same level of respect for you as a football fan, man. You know, you got to know when to actually make the overlapping run. You got to have, like, you know, the low body fat percentage to be able to pull it off. It's like I built this up over the years to actually be able to do all this shit, and I just throw it away. It feels kind of, I don't know, fucking, you know, sucks, you know. But that's how fun stand-up is, you know. It's great, but yeah, I miss it a lot, man. Just doing a couple of tryouts a year, just feeling like you have a goal in soccer, even though it's going nowhere. Just to play on like a federated, competitive, organized team is great, you know. So I don't know. Here's hoping they don't find the podcast and fucking cancel me like the Seven Aside private team did, right? That's the thing about getting told you can't play soccer is it's devastating, because it's like it's not devastating because it's unimportant, and it's like, bro, you guys are being like absurd, you know. You worried that I have a podcast where I make jokes? You think somehow I'm gonna get in trouble and get you in trouble with me? I guess it is kind of all a little bit nuts, and so it's hard to get that mad at it because it's so preposterous that you can almost only laugh. But at the same time, it's infuriating because, like, to get told you can't play, you know, play the sport you like is rage inducing, you know, because it's the thing that kind of makes you feel like the most. A lot. There's like a couple things that make you feel alive. I think like, like winning the affection of a woman, and I don't mean like winning her over like to just start dating. I mean like even when you're dating, like you're doing a thing that like gets you brownie points. You know what I mean? Like flirting with a woman and getting like female validation. Like that's one of them. I think the other thing you could do is make people laugh. I think making money is another one. When you make money, you feel like alive. Like oh, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna feed myself now, you know? Buying shit, that's a controversial one. I think buying shit and, you know, just because it feels like you could use it for something. You feel like, oh, I'm gonna get utility out of this. There's value there. It does something in the brain. And then the last thing, and for me, this is the most, you know, this maybe the most intense of all, is going through military exercise. And I think sports is that, you know? You know what I mean? No matter what level it's at. So, yeah, you want to do it as much as you're able to until your body can't, you know? So if someone tells you you can't, like if someone tells you, sorry, you're not on the team, for whatever reason, you know, you try out and you get cut. It's infuriating because you want as many like opportunities to actually to do it. You know, the high you get from a successful play, my God, man, it's crazy, especially if there's people watching, you know, and they react accordingly. Whoa, yeah, man. So, but yeah, and I did it on scones and clotted cream. That's how much I, you know, love my lady and her family. I normally I'll eat nothing before a competitive soccer thing, before any competitive, you know, feat of, you know, I don't know, athletic, I don't know, athletic prowess. I don't know, before doing physical activity, you want to like eat nothing, but all I ate were fucking scones and tea and butter and cream. you know, and just try not to shit myself the whole time I was on the fucking field. Anyway, guys, this was fun. I appreciate you tuning into the pod, as always. If you're new here, please toss a like on the episode. It helps boost it. Subscribe if you're new. And yeah, tune in for the next couple of weeks. We've got some cool things lined up. When D'Lo comes back, it'll be fun to just sort of go about what we, you know, what we normally do. But we, you know, we are always looking to maybe get fun little, you know, goody guests on. Guests who are, you know, I don't know, just when we line guests, the fun thing about not always having guests on is when they come on, it feels like it feels like a nice little change of pace and it's refreshing. And, you know, I don't know if we'll have many guests coming on before the Euro. We might, depending on what, you know, what the vibe is, but it's going to be a fun next little month here just because of the fact that the season's going to be wrapping up. We're going to talk a lot about the Euro, not just in the month of June and July, but probably also in May. We'll spend a lot of time kind of, you know, speculating about who should get called up and shit, and that'll be fun as ever. So yeah, stay tuned for all that good stuff. And yeah, stay blessed and stay off the gambling sites if you're gonna do it, or just, you know, bet on sports. Don't bet on esports. Don't give them the satisfaction. Don't enable them. Don't enable esports. You know what I mean? It trivializes real sports. It trivializes real sports, bro. Just having sports in the name esports and you fucking watch it and it's 12 people watching dudes sitting in a gaming chair for 8 hours at a time. There's not a sport on earth you should be able to play for 8 hours. That's just a rule. You can do it for 8 hours, it's not a sport. You know what I mean? You know? When you're doing a sport, it should prolong your life, kind of. I get that when you get knocked out in an MMA fight or in a boxing match, that's shortening your life. But the training, you know, in principle, you know, you should be getting lean, and that should be good for you. There's nothing good. You're not simulating war when you play FIFA, you know what I mean? So bet on armies. Bet on armies like you know, the Milwaukee Brewers, you know? Can we say baseball? I guess baseball's kind of the least, that's the one that's least like an army. Can we at least say that? Can we agree on that, you know? Of all the sports, maybe in North America, that's the one that feels most like a, that's more like a social club, you know what I mean? They're just all in the club, they're on the dugout, they're all in the clubhouse, just, you know, who the hell knows what goes on in the clubhouse, man? Baseball's the, because they play it so goddamn much, it's like, it's almost like they're in the barracks, you know? Football, that's war, you know? Like American football, 16 games a year, everyone is, you know, is a battle. That's, anyway. But bet on that shit. That's all more noble. The less it happens, the more noble it is. Football once a week, like American, you know, American football, that's great. Even European football once, twice a week, that's good. That's okay to gamble on. The UFC once a week, once every 2 weeks, perfect, you know? That's the breadbasket. Stay woke. GT fucking esport leagues, go fuck yourself. I'm on to you, asshole. I'm on to you. I may just have to start reaching out to these guys privately and try to fix things myself. Honestly, who's going to come after me? What authority is going to come after me? You know what I mean? Don't tell me the fix isn't in. I would fix real football if my fifth division team had the opportunity to be listed on sport books. We should have a team meeting and say, how are we all going to get a little cut of this? You know what I mean? There's no way you can't compromise these guys. In fact, here's a challenge to you. If you're listening to this pod and you made it to the end, look up the GT Esports League. Look up the guys that are in it. Stalk them on Instagram. Reach out to them. Say, hey, how can I get a piece of the action? How can I get a piece of the action? Hit me up on Telegram. Boom. It's how to make money in 2024. All right. Till next time. Alla prossima. Ciao.